Well, I started Damon Vickers early, so we're taking phone calls with him now this hour, and then next hour, we'll have open lines for you right here on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back, Damon Vickers with us. Damon, should we hoard cash if we have it?
I don't know. What are you gonna,
what are you going to do with it? Exactly.
Everybody should probably have some cash. They should probably have some precious metals. They should probably have any number of things.
I want to put it in a shoebox under my bed.
You may want to put some bullets in there as well, because if the you know what really hits the fan,
yeah,
and it begins to look like movies that we've seen, like The Road or The Book of Eli,
yeah,
bullets are probably negotiable too, I suppose.
Well, that's a good point. That's a good point. Well, there was a time a few years ago we had an ammunition shortage because people hoarded up on this stuff.
I know it. Well, you know, some of, and taking it back to it, but, you know, some of the best performing stocks year to date are companies like Smith & Wesson and Ruger. I mean, these things, last we looked, I think they were up over 50, 60% year to date, which is just,
wow.
Yeah, it's huge. So they've been good performers. That's, again, what we're talking about, right? Be aware of what you're doing. Invest in what you love and or what your actions are. Be aware of that. Invest in those companies that you're involved in. You're watching Mad Men and Breaking Bad and The Walking Dead. I love those three programs. And we're shareholders in AMCX, which is AMC Entertainment. So you're buying bullets, invest in a Smith & Wesson maybe.
Is there anything out there about the economy that you are afraid of?
Well, I'm afraid of. No, because I don't fear... Look, the biggest is, there's a great question. It almost is like a Glenn question, but
by the way, Damon, I taught Glenn, just so
you know. You taught him?
Yeah, I did. It's a long story. You ask him about his live commercials.
That's okay.
It's an inside thing between Glenn and me, but you ask him.
I will.
And he'll tell you.
Look, how do you, if the big thing that Glenn's always concerned about, and I think, is being prepared for the big one. You know, what happens when the big one hits? What are you going to do? Look, everybody knows the story of Sully Sullenberger, I hope. This is the guy who, when he was taking off the airplane at LaGuardia, 2 minutes out from LaGuardia, he hits the birds. He could have flown autopilot. Every pilot that ever flew that airline was probably told, good pilots or autopilots, don't think, just fly autopilot.
Mm-hmm.
Sully was a guy who was a seat-of-your-pants type of guy. He paid attention to what the plane was doing. He saw the changes in the altimeter, the fuel gauge. Where did that information live? Did it live somewhere in the future? Did it live in the past? It was in that moment that he saw the changes.
That's right.
You're worried about what might happen in the biggest collapse or Armageddon or the financial apocalypse. The only way that you're going to see it is to be focused on now, to be living in the moment, to make your mantra, may God grant me the serenity to accept the will of the market and not my own, and align myself with what the market is actually doing, up or down. I mean, our goal is to profit from what's happening, not just try to project into the future, worry about the past, but focus on what's actually happening. What's actually happening economically right now is very positive. Is that going to continue forever? No, probably not. There probably will be other bear markets. I think you can count on it. And if one comes along, you want to be fluid and try to be adaptive. We're active managers. I mean, that's what we do. That's how we did well in 08. That's how we did well between 2000 and 2003. You know, if all you do is drive straight forever, you're going to run out of road.
Yeah,
you need to be
flexible,
fluid, adaptive. Make some changes and pay attention to what's happening. And I think anything that comes your way, it won't matter, because you'll find some way to survive and adapt and thrive in it.
Damon, I still think the monkey wrench in this gear might be Iran. I just think the longer we have waited, the more I think something is going to happen. It's in my gut. I can't get it out. What do you think?
Well, I hope not. I mean, there are some people.
I hope not either, but I just think something's going to happen.
Well, I really hope not, because there's some beautiful people over there. The rugs are beautiful. The culture has been around forever. And there's some wonderful, wonderful, good people in Iran.
Yes.
But I think religious fanaticism of any type is dangerous. And so I think there's the problem. I hope something doesn't happen. But again, you're talking about the future. We can't live in the future. We don't live there. It doesn't exist. But then again, I think Albert Einstein would say that the future, the past, and the present are all happening at the same time. And I've spoken to some people that live in that time frame. It's an interesting to talk to them. Rinpoche is a person like that, Tarthang Tulku Rinpoche, who I still have a personal relationship with. And in our talks in the last couple of years, and sitting down with him, he talks like that. You know, you're talking to someone that doesn't function in any time frame. They function in all time frames. So that's pretty interesting. But we can't live in the future, George. We can't.
All right,
so
let's go to the phones.
Don't worry about it.
Let's go to our first-time caller in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Chris, you're on Coast to Coast with Damon Vickers. Go ahead, Chris.
Hi. Good morning, Chris. George.
Hi.
David.
Good morning, Chris.
Hi, can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can.
Great. First-time caller. I love the show. I just got turned on to it not too long ago. I can't even sleep at night, so I've got to listen to you guys. But anyhow, my comment. Do you think the economy and the stock markets have a lot to do with people getting their tax refunds, some of the young people nowadays, and them spending it on the needy things that they do need, you know, needy things as well as needs, and their college funds, I imagine. I hope.
Probably so. What do you think the average tax return is, Damon? A couple $1,000 maybe? Is that too much?
Well, I wish I was getting a refund. I don't think I'll be a long time waiting for that check.
Me too.
Yeah, I don't know. It's probably a couple of $1,000, but the bennies are pretty good, actually. I mean, there's all kinds of money being showered on society right now. So refunds will actually probably be pretty good, I would think.
And what would you do with it? Would you spend it, buy something, what?
Well, you can. You can go ahead and do some more consumption and eat those Doritos. But what you could also do is begin investing that money, begin building for your future. You know, lower your expectations, you know, and start saving for the future. Get an IRA open. Get a, you know, start invest in companies that you love and that you're involved with. And I got to tell you that as you do that in the years and the decades ahead, you will create wealth that you've never had any imagining of. You know, in Cisco, in 92, 93, there was a networking equipment company out of San Francisco. This was right as computers were beginning to talk to themselves. And if you were a little bit aware and awake of that, maybe you might have invested in this company. It was called Cisco Systems.
Oh, sure.
That company went up 90,000% between the early 90s and 2000. And I believe there are chances like that today.
Oh, my God.
Right now. But you need to be aware, awake, and invest in some of those companies.
And patient. And patient.
And a little, and sometimes you need to be adaptive and fluid, but you need to be patient sometimes too.
So let's say $20,000 in something that went up 90,000%. Oh, my. 90,000.
90,000. Yep.
Your 20,000 would be worth millions.
Yes.
Wow. That's a good deal. Let's go to Mike, Los Angeles, California, west of the Rockies. Mike, go for it.
Yes. Hello.
Thanks. Hi, Michael.
Thanks for taking my call. I just think that basically Obama has loosened up the purse strings around the Federal Reserve, so we're getting more money for real estate, so it makes it look better than it is, because he wants to get reelected. So we're gonna get this sort of a bull market temporarily until the next election, and then afterwards, I do believe that things are going to fall apart. If it's Obama again, I think we're going to be in a lot of trouble. And it's nothing new. I mean, that this would happen. They're self-serving individuals. All they care about is getting reelected. I wonder how many people have actually talked to their congressman.
Well, that's
because
that's
they spend half
question.
The time. Their half their time is spent talking to their lobbyists. 25% is spent raising money for their next campaign. At least 25% for us, and that's not much.
You're being generous there, Mike. You're being generous. Look, you know, the monetary system, does the president have anything to do with what the feds do, Damon?
Well, he's not supposed to. They're supposed to be independent. But maybe if you don't play ball, you don't get invited to the right cocktail parties. You know, you've had Fed chairmen that have run interest rates up to 21-22%. There was Volcker, you know, way back when.
Paul Volcker, sure.
And I don't think the sitting president probably liked that one bit. You know, you've got the stock market has risen a good degree. The rise in the value of common stocks has made people feel wealthier. It's made them feel more confident. The rise in the value of their holdings has made them feel like they were willing to take more risk. And you see that at the lines at the supermarket, and you see it in Home Depot, and you're beginning to see it in real estate transactions. No, I mean, we've got a positive environment right now. To project ourselves into the future, like, oh, well, when Obama gets reelected and then the stock market's going to tumble and this and that, that's a tense we're not living in yet. So that type of thinking has no value. The only value that anything is what's happening right now. And when we get to then, the only value that will happen is what's happening then. But then will be the now.
Here's one of my barometers, Damon. A few years ago, try parking at a mall parking lot on a Saturday. You could get a spot. It was easy. But now it's tough again.
So just believe your eyes. Yep. Because that's your experience. Believe your experience. Your experience is real. It's the moment. I mean, slap yourself in the face. If you feel it, you know it's happening in the present.
Let's go to Shaker Heights, Ohio. It's Vanessa's turn, wild card line. Hi, Vanessa.
Oh, hi. Good morning.
Hi.
I wanted to talk a bit about New World Order. Ask you a question. Do you seem to think, or you seem to say that some of the people behind it might be kind of nice, so it might not be so bad. I was wondering if you had ever heard of a letter written by 33rd degree Mason Albert Pike back in 1871. He outlined what he called a need for three world wars to achieve the New World Order. He said the first one would be to break the czarist rule, establish Russia as a communist stronghold, atheist stronghold. The second would be a clash between fascists and political Zionists to establish the State of Israel and to continue to build up communism as a catalyst. The third world war, they planned back then already, would be a clash between political Zionists in Israel and the leaders of the Muslim world. They said that this one, they would fight to both economic and political exhaustion, but remain as nations. And after World War III, they plan on unleashing global and social cataclysm will be provoked to bring about the destruction of both Christianity and communist atheism. And they said that all this is to usher in the possibility they want to bring in what they call, they want the world to receive the true light through the universal manifestation of the pure doctrine of Lucifer.
What do you think of that, Damon? The devil.
I don't know. Sounds a bit dark.
I thought the devil was already out doing what he did.
Yeah, but the devil is in us. As well as Buddha and Jesus and all of that, the goodness and evil is within the hearts of all men. Such a document to say that I believe that some of the people out there are good. Yeah, I do. But the new world order that I'd like to see isn't the type of new world order that you describe. And I think the type of new world order that I'd like to see is peace on earth, harmony amongst men, and the acceptance of our brother. And the varying opinions, even your right to call up and, you know, about this document and all that kind of stuff. And I don't think it serves any of us to be so preoccupied with fearful thinking one way or the other. Just try to be a living example of kindness and goodness.
Well, we just got to make sure that we continue to elect officials that care about people.
Yeah, sure, that's not happening, George.
No, that's not happening.
Are you for real?
In a perfect world, that would be great.
In a perfect world, that would happen, but it's not happening because to get elected, you've got to sell your heart, lungs, soul, and kidneys to the highest bidder that's going to make the biggest contribution because he knows he's going to take care of the contract or the this or the that. And so we get sold out in the interim. I mean, this is the thing that we've constructed. This is why governments are not working. It's not working. I mean, so when you ask me, you know, Romney versus Obama, I mean, what can I really say to that? I mean, it's a farce. I think it's a farce, George.
Steve in Maywood, New Jersey, east of the Rockies. Go ahead, Stephen.
Oh, hello, gentlemen.
Hi.
Hi. Long Coast listener and subscriber.
Good.
And I have a question and a statement. First, a few years ago, I heard... I don't remember exactly where I heard it, but David Rockefeller announced that by 2015, United States citizens will be chipped. And my statement is that all this security is creating nothing but fear and mistrust with people. You can't go anywhere without ID. It's ridiculous.
You're right. You're right.
And people aren't going to, you know, if something goes wrong, they're not going to speak up, either for fear or loathing. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, David Rockefeller is in the sunset of his life, and I've never heard him say anything like that. And I think there's a certain element in the country that would like to vilify the Rockefellers and the Rockefeller family, and I don't think they're really examining the facts. And the facts are that we wouldn't have a national park system without the Rockefellers. You wouldn't have a Metropolitan Museum of Modern Art off of Fifth Avenue. That was his childhood home. The family gave that to the city of New York. They built the Cathedral of St. John the Divine. They created the YMCA. They their whole foundation is dedicated towards helping humanity. I think that's a great thing. I think you see the beginnings of that type of generosity and philanthropy in Bill and Melinda Gates and Warren Buffett. I haven't seen so much in the Walton family, at least that I'm aware of, and I think that's the single biggest fortune in the United States. But I don't think it's fair to continually to vilify the Rockefellers. I don't think it is, really. It's convenient because they're so rich. And it's
they
us
are
versus,
rich.
And it's us versus them, but I don't think it's fair. And it's nothing that I'm aware of in my experience or knowledge. But I'm biased, though, because my great-grandfather and my family has had relationships with them for
sure.
A good while.
Well, I'm glad you were honest to bring that up. Well, you haven't said much about China. How come?
Well, I think China's developing. I mean, they're emerging as a Western power. In becoming more Western. Really, isn't that ironic to call China a Western power? They're becoming more Western all the time. I think I'd like to see them be a little bit more compassionate. I think they're in such a race to modernize, and they've done an amazing job. They've gone from bicycles to motorcycles to cars to BMWs in a very short amount of time. Vast amounts of wealth being created in China. In all this haste to be glamorous and new and trendy, which is they're very much about that, what they're losing, I think they run the risk of losing their heritage. And China is an amazing culture that goes back thousands and thousands of years. And some of that are their relationships to Tibet and to other regions of the area over there. I think at some point they're really going to regret
the way
they've treated the Tibetan people.
You are right. We're going to come back with final phone calls with Damon Vickers before open lines on Coast to Coast AM. Well, next hour, we'll open up the phone lines and have open lines for you on Coast to Coast AM. And when we come back with Damon Vickers, how about some final phone calls on Coast to Coast AM? And welcome back with Damon Vickers. Of course, Damon, would you tell us again about this offer for our listeners, the 200 people or so?
Yeah, first, just on the, it's on the Coast to Coast website. I think right on, there's a link there. And if the markets can be a treacherous place at times, but also a great place. And it's a way of saying thank you. I love Coast to Coast. I love the listeners. First 200 respondents, and I've got to make it just the first, DamonVickers.com, personal conversation with me and look at their portfolio. First 200 people, DamonVickers.com, www.DamonVickers.com. Happy to do it.
If you're, I'm going to ask you a couple questions in stages, then we'll take final phone calls with you, Damon. If you're in your 20s, what should you be trying to put away to save? And let's say you make $30,000, $40,000 a year. What can you do?
Put away as much as you can. I mean, even start earlier than your 20s. I mean, hopefully your parents are doing things for you when you're, you know, 4, 5, 6 years old. I mean, it's all time, George. The earlier you can get started, the more compounding can work on your behalf. And more than that is that we've got to do a better job educating our children about really how to invest and how to invest the right way. I guess really not just for kids, but also for older people, but really to recognize what they invest in. You know, one of the companies that my kids own is Jamba Juice. And I'm not crazy about it, but because I think they shouldn't have the powders and the drinks, because I think it should just be the great juices. Right. But they liked it. They love Jamba Juice. And you know something? A lot of other kids like Jamba Juice too, I come to find out, because every time I go by Jamba Juice, I see all these kids there. And they put this in their accounts. Jamba Juice, I think, is up something like 50, 60% for them in the last, I don't know, maybe 5 months. That's kind of nice when you're getting half a percent interest in a CD.
Something's going on.
So that's the thing. But you're 20 years old, how much should be putting aside? Put aside as much as you absolutely can. I mean, make sure you're funding your 401ks if your business has one. Get an IRA. Get fund those IRAs and make those investments. And even and just do it. Just do it. And invest in what you love. Be aware of the things that you love and invest in it. You like DirecTV? Own some shares. You shop at Whole Foods Market, and we're shareholders in DirecTV. You shop at Whole Foods Market, buy some shares. We're shareholders in Whole Foods Market. You like Chipotle Mexican Grill, because I know a lot of people do, including some 20 years old. Own some shares in Chipotle. We're investors in it. It's a great company run by great people.
Can you be more aggressive in your 20s than when you're in your 40s?
Well, I think everybody has to make that decision for themselves. There are people that are very aggressive with their money in their 40s and people that are not aggressive enough in their 20s. I think it's what everybody feels comfortable with. At all times, I think you should try to be fluid, adaptive. I mean, we're active managers. We want to align ourselves with what's happening. I want to be long a bull market. I want to be short a bear market. And I want to align myself with what's actually happening. But don't make the mistake of not recognizing what you're looking at. I mean, think of all the industries that have been created. If you're 70, 80 years old right now, you've seen the arrival of the telephone, the television, the personal computer, any number of things, and
the cell
phone. One of those waves of change opened up unlimited opportunity for the creation of fortunes. Don't think that this time and this moment is any different. It's not. There are great opportunities right now. Recognize them and invest in them.
Next up, let's go now to La Quinta, California. Jeff, you're up with us. Let's get us started. Go ahead, Jeff.
Thank you very much, George.
Sure,
love the show. I have a comment, and I do have a question, which does
pertain
to your last statement there. First of all, I got to say, I think that this Obama administration is the most morally corrupt administration I've ever seen. I mean, when you have the executive office, say the smartest man in the room is John Corzine, and that's where they take all of their financial information from, who almost became Treasury Secretary. And you've got a Justice Department that's obviously turning their back and has another agenda. You know, that's pretty sad, and that just goes back to the presidential election. But listen, I'm 67 years old. You know, I'm trying to own my own home. I'm upside down. You know, I've been invested my whole life. I had, you know, not a risky investor, but I put money away. You know, I even from when I was in the military, I set a little money aside for college, and then I set a little money aside, and I'd done that throughout my life. And then I found myself with my pants halfway down my ankles when Merrill Lynch pulled the games that they did. And then, not being an expert, I pulled my money out, which I should have left it in to ride. So now here I am, you know, 65 years old with, let's say, $150,000 in the bank. you know, I have about $100,000 equity into my home, and I'm trying to just survive, you know, and I don't know whether to buy a gun and lock the doors. You know, I look at the young workforce that's out there, and they can't even pull up their pants. Half the people in California here don't graduate from high school. And then I hear,
well, they don't want to pull up their pants. That's part of the that's part of the fashion a little bit. You know that, right?
Yeah. I understand it. I mean, I don't understand. What's funny is when you see them on news getting in a criminal act, and they're running away trying to pull their pants up. You know, but where do I put my money? Because I don't have an opportunity really to take risk. You know, but I also want more than 1%.
Well,
you know,
I don't know.
Chipotle's or how, you know, what would you do for somebody that's like in my situation?
Well, I mean, if you really don't want to take risk, then don't take risk. I mean, put it in a CD or something like that. There's no risk. You've got currency risk.
What is that? 1%, 2%?
I don't even think it's that, really.
Lord, yeah.
Look, I've always felt that when we invest in companies that are in the path of change, that these are better businesses than most because they're healthy, because they've got the flow of sales and earnings and a good adoption cycle and the expansion of the technology or the product into society, whether it was the personal computer or Intel in the 1990s. So you're generally, and you need to be diversified. You know, you don't want to put all your eggs in one idea and be spread out and own companies that you love. And I think portfolios of like that generally do okay. They maybe even better than okay. But, you know, if you really can't take any risk, then you really should, you probably should just, you know, be in a CD or something like that. It's what you're comfortable with. But knowledge is key. And you do miss a lot by not investing in the companies that you know and love. And as a man of your age, you've seen so many things come in society. You know, whether it was the arrival of Microsoft or Intel or McCaw Cellular with the cell phone, or the arrival of cable TV, or, you know, any number of things, you know. So that's the key. The key is to place money in the path of change.
All right. Next up, let's go to Houston. Corby, you're with us on Coast to Coast. Hi, Corby.
Hi. I am an independent software developer, and I just have built a website that rescues people and animals, and it's actually the next 90,000% growth company. But my question for Damon is, it seems like Larry Page and, you know, from Google, and Mark Zuckerberg from Facebook, they were like one step away from some very wealthy alumni at Stanford or Harvard. How do I, you know, get in touch with either an angel investor or, you know, some way to, you know, find somebody to help me, you know, launch my site? My website is now complete. I'm allowed to say it. It's daily-click.com, but how do I, you know, get in touch with somebody to actually go from just, you know, my site's built, but I have no users yet, so that's where I'm at now. Do you have any advice for that?
Well, look, if you've got a great idea, that's what society needs. I mean, if you've got great ideas, whether it's a better mousetrap, I mean, yeah, you got a better mousetrap, and money's going to find you. Absolutely. The society, we're not lacking for money. We can print trillions of it. There's lots of money out there. What there is a shortage of is exactly what you just said, is great ideas. There are angel investor groups. There are a number of them here out in Seattle. I'll give my email address. It's vickers@damonvickers.com. If you've got a great idea, a great, great product or something like that, send me an email. I know most of the big investors and angel investors out here in the groups. I know them intimately. And either, you know, you want me to look at your portfolio or I'll put you in touch with those guys if you got. I'm not guaranteeing anything, but I'd be happy to kind of pass it along. I think in Zuckerberg's case, he actually didn't have everything lined up in a row. The people that he knew at Harvard didn't really help him at all. It was the guy from Napster that really drove it home for him. And, you know, just look, everything is about intent. If you have a desire to do something, your intent is to succeed, voice it, write it down, believe in your vision, believe in your dream, take one step at a time, walk in that direction with faith, a good attitude, and belief, and focus on your dream, and you'll find it happen. It'll manifest itself.
6.9, by the way, magnitude earthquake hits in the Gulf of California tonight, down by Mexico. And I'm definitely convinced it's related to the Indonesian quake. We're getting aftershocks this far. It's an interesting planet, Damon, isn't it?
It is. It is. I did hear that. They had the 8.9 in Bandu Aceh again over there?
Near Sumatra, yeah.
Yep.
Okay, next up, let's go to Zephyr Hills, Florida. It's Chuck Stern, east of the Rockies. Hi, Chuck. Go ahead.
Oh, hi, George.
Hey.
Great show tonight.
Thank you, Chuck.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask Damon, what do you think, what's your take on mutual funds? Do you have any opinion on those?
I love them. They're great. I mean, they're not all great. we'd like to get our own launched later on this year. I run a private fund, and then I run two businesses, a private fund and then private client stuff. I think there's some great mutual funds, and there are a lot of mutual funds that are worthless.
Okay.
But you know, I think it's mostly that most managers and investors don't have any idea what they're doing. They have no idea. They don't know how. They don't connect the pieces. Like everybody's holy grail is they would love to own the next Microsoft, the
right.
next Amazon.com.
Sure.
And I've known people that have taken $25,000 and turned it into $1.5 billion.
No,
Amazon.com.
Are you kidding me? Whoa.
No, I'm serious.
I know his name. I talked to one fund manager.
His last name is Kellogg. I won't tell you his first name.
I talked to one fund manager about a year ago.
Uh-huh.
He told me of a strategy where if you put about 70% in bonds and 30% in stock funds, that it's kind of like if one's going up, the other will be going down, and it sort of balances itself out over the long term, and you end up with a net gain if things are working the way they have for like the last 70 years or whatever.
Well, not really. I mean, you've had, I think common stocks have outperformed every other asset class that has ever been, mainly because the nature of them, but that doesn't mean all common stocks. You know, there's a big difference between you putting your money down a rabbit hole in Microsoft or Cisco Systems or, you know, one of those companies, because they haven't seen the light of day in 12 years, and Microsoft is the walking dead. But then talk about a company like Chipotle Mexican Grill, Lululemon, we own both of those, Panera Bread, we own that, Pete's Coffee, we own that. I'd love to own Carhartt. I'd love to own In-N-Out Burger. I'd love to own Papa Murphy's, Red Mango. This is where the future is. These are great businesses, and then there's The Walking Dead. So it's not all. And as for government debt is as common as sand on the beach. I don't want to own debt. I want to own equity. Equity represents ownership. There's a little bit more value to that, I believe.
Why do you say Microsoft is part of The Walking Dead? What's going to happen?
Everybody that was intelligent has left the building. Bill's gone. Steve Ballmer's like the enforcer. And then you have the imported workforce. I mean, it's not a good product.
Oh, so what happens to his stock? Will it plummet or has he diversified?
It hasn't, because they're doing buybacks and any number of things. He does sell a lot of his stock. I think they liquidate pretty much every day that the market's open. It has risen year to date, but you know, it's just it's the user experience. I mean, who can really say they enjoy using Microsoft Windows? I mean, I don't. I love Apple, and I got a lot of Apple, and we own the shares. And at our shop, we own mostly Apple computers. So
Apple got hacked. Didn't they get hacked last week? Apple got hacked.
Well, I don't know. We didn't get hacked. Look, there are great people at Microsoft. I know many of them. I mean, I live out here in Seattle. But I think there are many other places to put your money other than Microsoft. They're a great company. They're great people there. But I think there are better places to invest your money.
Let's go to Maceo in Anchorage, Alaska. Get a couple more calls in here. Let's go. Maceo, go ahead.
Hi, George.
Hi there.
I love your show.
Thanks, sir. I got two things.
A comment for you that's off topic and a question for Damon.
Let's take Damon's first. Go ahead.
Okay. Damon, since we were talking about the whole a part of the secret societies and whatnot. I'm wondering, do you think that there was a ploy between setting Herman Cain up? Because we all know Obama's going to get 100% of the black vote, if not maybe a little less. But we all know Obama's going to get the black vote. We all know this. So my question is, do you think that there's a possible setup between Herman for Herman Cain and that conspiracy with him? Because people were beginning to listen to him. And the one thing, as a black man, I could not get behind voting for Obama just because he was black. But there's a lot of people, even though they're political.
Well, as you say, now he's not going to get 100%, will he?
No, he won't. Not for me. He never has.
So there you go. But anyways, what do you think of that intrigue?
I don't get it. I liked Herman Cain. He was a great speaker, and he had some, and he sang really well too. I liked his singing voice. You know, I don't know. I don't really get into the whole political thing. I don't get it. It's a ruse, and it's smoke and mirrors and red chip, blue chip. And I just, you know, I don't know. I thought Ron Paul had some interesting things to say.
I like Ron Paul. He's been on our show, Damon, and he's a decent, honest guy.
Yeah, that's what I get about him. And Obama's not a bad guy neither. None of these guys are terrible. I don't know. But the system is faulty. The game.
Yeah, it always has been. It's a lousy game, isn't
it? Yeah, it is. That's the problem. It's not that they're bad people. It's just the game they're in is bad, I think.
Yep, absolutely. Okay, well, we've got time for one more. Let's go to Max in Chicago, first-time caller. Hey, Max, go ahead.
George, Nori, the greatest.
I give it my best.
I agree.
Oh, you're fantastic. You're fantastic. Damon, great guest tonight. Real quick, I know we're getting near the end here. What, you know, your thing is, your premise is the collapse of the day after the collapse of the dollar. You know, these guys are borrowing $1 trillion every 3 months to prop up this whole system. How can the stock market and your, I love your optimism, but to me, it look, you know, I keep hearing all this stuff about collapse of the economy, martial law, the Georgia Guidestones, depopulation. Could you speak on that real quickly? What the heck's going on here?
Well, the day after the dollar, we need the dollar to actually break a new low, which it hasn't since 2008. I can short weakness, but we don't have weakness, so I can't trade it. The market's rising. I have to trade the market that I'm given. The market that I'm given right now is a bull market, rising prices. And so I need to invest with that. When the time comes that it changes direction, I'll invest in that direction. I always have. It's what we do.
Damon, we are out of time. I want to thank you again for being on the program. Always great insight from you. Damon's website, of course, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. And again, for the first 200 of you who can get to him, he will give you a free consultation. And, you know, I hope that works for you. I will be back in a moment. Open lines on Coast to Coast AM.